Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. This podcast is dedicated to helping you create a life that sets your soul on fire. I believe that is truly possible for everybody, but you have to be willing to do a few things. You have to be willing to let go of your past conditioning. You have to be willing to break free from societal norms. And you have to be willing to get really curious about your life and how you can start to look at it differently. Each week, we will hear stories from people who have done exactly this. People who chose to disrupt the life path they were on, go against the grain, and share the lessons and perspective shifts they had to make along the way. Every episode is committed to not only inspiring you and connecting you with other amazing humans, but actually giving you the tools that you need to use this information in your own life so that you continue to evolve and reconnect with your highest self. Are you ready? Let's have some fun. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I am so excited to bring you this conversation with Andrea Crisp today. So Andrea Crisp, a little bit about her. She is an empowerment coach. She is also a podcast host of the Courage Cast. So make sure you go check that out. She is a author of the book Designed with Purpose, and her clients affectionately call her their secret weapon because of her innate ability to help them create an empowered way of being in life and business. So in this episode, in this conversation, we talk about one of the turning points in Andrea's life where she ended up turning down a dream opportunity that led her down a path that she could have never seen coming. We talk about the power of surrendering to a higher power and her faith deconstruction, what she lost throughout that process of her unraveling. We talk about the courage and what it takes to get curious and question your current belief structures and why there's so much fear that usually goes into that. We talk about real life sneaky examples of how judgment, self-criticism, self-sabotage, and these different types of thought patterns can creep into our own life. This episode is full of so much goodness. I can't wait for you to dive in. I had an absolute blast connecting with Andrea. So make sure that you give the entire episode a listen. Let us know what you take from it, because I know you are going to learn so much through her experiences, through her wisdom, and everything that she shares with us in this episode. All right, let's dive in. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I have Andrea Crisp here with me. I'm so excited. We met, maybe about a year ago through a mutual friend.
Yep.
And I just instantly connected with Andrea's energy and like her story and just kind of all the things that she does. So I knew that I needed to have you on the podcast. So thank you for being here.
I'm so excited. Yes, our mutual friend, Amy Getz, she always introduces me to the best people. So yeah, you're one of them.
I always say, like, if I get introduced to you through Amy Getz, I'm almost already in love. Like, I'm like, she just has like a magical way of connecting people. So
true.
If you don't know, Amy Getz didn't know she was being promoted on the podcast. I will have her on at a later date. But she's pretty magical. But I want to talk about you and just your story and how you choose to live life very different and how you allow people to live their life and run their businesses in a more empowered way. So we're going to get into all of that fun stuff. But before we get there, I just have some questions to get us warmed up. Are you ready for them?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I love that.
Where did you grow up?
I'm from Canada. So I grew up in Ottawa, Ontario, which is the nation's capital. A lot of people don't know that. They think Toronto is the nation's capital. But my dad was a Mountie, an RCMP officer, so a police officer. You know, the ones with the horses?
On a horse? Oh my gosh. That was like, does that mean he was on a horse?
Except for he didn't really ride horses. But yes, same kind of thing.
Okay.
And I grew up there, and I eventually moved to the States by myself when I went to college. But I moved back to Canada in 2007.
So okay. I'm back here now. So that's where you're at now.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the biggest difference between the US and Canada?
Oh, it's so bizarre. I find like when I go across the border, it's an immediate energetic shift.
In what way?
I don't know. It feels a little bit more dense and heavy. as soon as you go across.
The U.S., you're saying?
Yes. It feels, okay. You can really feel the patriotism. Like, you can feel that.
America.
Like, we're America. I don't know how to describe it other than that. And then when you go across to Canada, it's almost like there's this, like, lighter feeling, like a more, okay, yeah. And I would feel it even when I was a kid, but of course I didn't have language around that. But sure. Yeah, now it's, and it's so funny because I'm actually going to Florida on Monday, and I'll be there for 3 weeks, and I love it, but it's very different.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just love that. I think it's so fun to get a different perspective because obviously I'm in the US and we notice, and maybe whoever's listening, just paying attention, there are different collective energies depending on where you're at. I mean, even in the US, I just got back literally last night at midnight from Sedona, Arizona, right? And Sedona is known for its healing red rocks and all these things. And I just got chills actually. And like, there's there is an energy behind every location. And so I think it's fun to, I haven't been to Canada in a long while.
Have you been though? You've been?
I have been. My husband and I, our first ever trip we took together, we went to Blue Mountain, Canada.
I know where that is.
It's beautiful. I think it was like 8 hours from Michigan or something insane. We drove in a snowstorm. We went to this little snow town. I had no idea what I was doing. Actually, it was really funny because we got in this huge fight because I was trying to snowboard. I don't know how to snowboard in powder. Like, I barely know how to do it regardless.
Yeah.
but I did not know how to do it in powder. And they had got dumped with snow. And I actually was like, I took my snowboard off and I walked down the hill, and Andrew was like, put it back on. Like, put that back. You are not walking down this hill. And I was like, I am walking down this hill. But it's so funny because we still think about it, and we have so many stories from that trip. And it was one of the most, like, it was so fun and so beautiful.
It's such a great, cute town.
Yeah. Just like little mountain town, you know, you just feel, I don't even know.
A village.
Yeah, we might have to go back. We'll see. Okay. So that's really fun. Thank you for your insight on that. Cause I just, like I said, I just think getting a different perspective on how it feels. And this is why, people, we've got to travel. Like, you've got to understand and get out of our bubble and like just experience what it feels like, because even Andrew and I just moved from Michigan to South Carolina, and specifically around the Greenville area. And it just is, it feels different, and it's going to feel different for each and every person. I'm not saying that like, one place is good and one place is bad. It's where does your energy like feel at home?
Can I ask? So like, what was the catalyst for that move?
That's a great question. You could see that Andrea has her own podcast. we've only gotten to the first question. No, the catalyst for that move was actually we really didn't feel like it was our home anymore. And so there was a series of events. Like, we had an Airbnb and it got a little bit jacked up, but because we had some terrible, and this was like the one and only bad Airbnb situation that we ever had, but it was almost like we were being pushed out of our area. And so we didn't really exactly know where, and we went through a pretty long transition period, but we were always called to the Carolinas, and we had visited Greenville, and we were like, I don't know, like, let's just fuck it and find out, right? Like,
yeah, let's see what happens.
And we absolutely love it. So it definitely feels, and I will never forget the moment we took the boat and we went out to Lake Kiwi down here, and we turned this corner, and there was the lake, and there was this mountains in the background. It's the Blue Ridge Mountains are in the background. And I was like, instantaneously, Andrew and I were both like, we had this like sigh of relief, and we were like, this is home.
I love that.
So anyway,
I had that feeling. It's funny because I don't live there anymore, but I had that feeling in Toronto. I live downtown Toronto. And I now live 4 hours north of there, and it is like it's very rural in the sense of like it is open space. It's like a lot of mining community rock up here. But when I lived in Toronto, I remember walking across this bridge and it was right beside the CN Tower and the energy of the city, there was something about it. And I was like, I'm home.
Mm.
And I lived there for almost 10 years. And even when I go back, because my brother lives there, I have so many friends there. When I go back, it's an immediate feeling of, I love this place. And it is a lot of energy, but I live right beside Lake Ontario. And it was just, there was something like magical about, like the water grounded me, but the energy of the city was amazing. But it's different up here because I have found in the past couple of years, especially after like the world shut down, you know, mm-hmm. especially in Ontario, we were the longest place on earth to be shut down. Mm. Crazy fun fact. Actually not fun at all, but you know, and it was like being up here was a reprieve. Like it was like, oh, thank God I'm somewhere where I'm away. Like, mm. I have open space and it, but there's oftentimes like, you know, how you say, I just feel like, okay, is there something next? Is there another place still?
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm with you.
You'll be led there, you know?
Yeah.
And I do believe that we shift and it can shift, you know?
Yeah.
And so just for anybody who's listening, who is considered living, and actually it's funny because I'm recording another podcast today with somebody who moved across country. So it seems to be a theme. but it's just, we can get so stuck in one place and it doesn't mean that you have to move someplace. But I know that as Andrew and I, we've traveled around and around the US and different places, I've always asked myself, could I live here? And a lot of times the answer is no. Like it's a very clear, no, I like this place to visit, but it's not a home place for me. But it's just something to experiment with and kind of have some fun with. Speaking of travel, what's one of your favorite places you have traveled?
I was just thinking about that as soon as you said that. Australia is my top place. I love Australia. I've been twice. I would love to go back. I almost lived there. I was offered a job in 2014. I turned it down. I know it's crazy. And that's when I moved to Toronto, but, it was, yeah, like it's something about it was just, it's magical.
What made you turn down the job?
It's funny. I had a feeling and a friend of mine who I knew, who I was visiting there, he said, I think I know what you're going to do about the job. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, what? He goes, I'm not going to tell you. And I said, well, why not? And he goes, well, it sounds to me like you're always trying to convince yourself that it's a good thing. And I went back and I looked at my journal and that was true. I was writing down reasons why it was a good fit for me. Almost like I was trying to convince myself. Yeah. And, you know, of course, back then, that was like in 2014, of course, I had no idea about human design at all. Yeah. I'm a generator 2-4 and sacral response. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I really started like understanding that. But it was like literally sacral response at that point, making that decision, because I really didn't have a good reason not to. Like my parents were all on board. My family was like, yes, go for it. The place that I was going to work was a great place. It was a recommendation from a friend that knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be finally moving somewhere I had always wanted to go. And I couldn't do it. I was just like, there's something stopping me. And mm-hmm. I never went.
That's amazing. And I think that takes a lot of courage, which we're going to talk about in a minute, to like our body doesn't speak through logic. It doesn't speak through intellect. It doesn't speak through what makes sense. And
It's funny because a lot of people don't realize that we have a certain like gene key within us, and mm-hmm. it's all about trying. The shadow of it is trying to force things to happen. And the way that I describe that is almost like trying too hard, right? And you can feel when you are trying too hard.
I really can.
On anything. Like,
are you talking to me specifically?
It might feel like it. I'm talking also to myself.
Okay.
Right? But I think most of us, we've been in those situations where you're like, well, I'm supposed to, or I should. And you can feel yourself trying to force it to make sense and force it to happen. And we start trying too hard. And I mean, we've all done this even in relationships, right? Where you're like, come on, like,
oh yeah.
And anybody who's listening, pay attention to what happens in your body, because you can feel it. And even what Andrea just said, I love that you talked about that. It's because like you went back and reflected. And this is also like, amen to friends.
Right.
Right. That are willing to be honest and candid with you about mm-hmm. like, hey, I don't, and he doesn't know if he's right or wrong. And no. It's not about if he's right or wrong, but he did bring something to your attention and it allowed you to go back and reflect and be like, yeah, I'm trying too hard. Like, what is this?
And I, you know, it's funny because I have, that has been a pattern, a recurring pattern that I had done for so long before that. And it was the first time that someone had maybe like even pointed it out. And not even that it was a pattern, but that, hey, like, it sounds like you're trying to convince yourself. And I thought, wow, I have done this. Like when I was in the States, I think I stayed too long. I think mm-hmm. I wanted to stay there. I had a life for myself. There were so many things I loved about it, but I was always trying to make it happen and trying, you know, to get an immigration visa. And there's so many things I was trying to make happen, relationships, trying to make happen. And, you know, all with really good intentions, I have to mm-hmm. say. Like mm-hmm. not, you know, malicious in any way or wanting something more, you know, but just like thinking this should be really, really good. So I should do this and this should happen for me. And realizing now, like, oh gosh, like this whole concept of surrender looks totally different to me now mm-hmm. because it really is about, I do have desires and I do want to see them fulfilled and I know they're going to be fulfilled, but I also have to really surrender to them and to source and higher power and allow it in whatever form it's going to come.
And yeah, it's almost like you notice that you are... you're fighting, because what you're really doing, right, is fighting against God's will.
Yeah.
And it's, and you can sit there and you can cerebrally convince and like mentally, you're like, this is the way it's supposed to be. And this is good for me. And I always laugh because I'm like, this is sometimes where, there's been this shift where people are saying, they're like, I don't say I should. They say I get to. And I'm mm-hmm. like, well, fuck that. Because first of all, like, I understand I understand what we're trying to do. And shoulds oftentimes don't come from a place of like the intention is not what we want. Like, no, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. It's not that you don't have to change your mindset about it.
Yeah.
It's that like there's a feeling in you that is like you're trying to force it, or you're trying to, or we've narrowed our vision so much because we are, and this is when it often happens, Andrea. So this is kind of fascinating, is that it usually happens when we're trying, when we find ourselves in that space of trying really hard or forcing. And here's what I will say, disclaimer to anybody who's listening. It takes a hell of a lot of awareness to notice that you're doing it in the moment.
Oh yeah.
You normally don't notice until either one, somebody points it out from the outside, or two, you're looking backwards. It's really difficult because you have a goal or you have something that you're going after or whatever it is, and you have just you have gone laser focused. You've narrowed your vision and it's the only thing that you can see.
Yep.
And so when we do that, we close out all of these amazing other opportunities and pathways to get there because we're trying to force our way.
And you know, it's interesting, like we've had a conversation about this before, probably over a year ago, but at this time that I was making the decision, I was going to be working for a church as a pastor. So that was the role that I was going into. And, I was very steeped in God's will for my life at the time. Like it was a big buzzword, but it was also really how I lived my life. But it was also very detrimental to me. Mm-hmm. So I assumed like if God wanted something to happen, then I had to do my best to make it happen. And I wasn't really choosing a lot of the things. Mm-hmm. If it was God's will for me, then it was God's will. Like that's where I was going. And my understanding now of surrender and allowing for God to show up and do amazing things is really not about it being a certain way or a certain thing. It's really not about that at all. But what I was taught and what I would even share with other people was that no, when you're in the will of God, you'll know and you'll walk it out. And, you know, but that really did a lot of harm to me in so many ways. Like it did harm to me in emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally, like many, many ways. It's only been in the past few years that I've been able to unpack all of that and start to go, okay, how can I trust God but do it differently?
And let's like dive into that. Screw the rest of the questions because we just got into a very fun conversation. And so we're not going to stop it. Maybe we'll ask him at the end or something. We'll see. But talk a little bit more about that because I do find that there's so much discernment between, you know, I've had conversations with people and they're like, well, I owe my whole life to God. And I'm like, I understand. And like, God gives blessings to a lot of people, mm-hmm. but you still have to choose to use them, right? You still have to choose to walk whatever path you're going to walk or, and what that looks like walking the path that God or source or universe or whatever has given you, it doesn't mean that you're directly tied to religious studies.
No.
Or you know, like, or some spiritual like path or whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you've given up your life
for
God. So I guess my question to you is, where did that discernment come from and how did you start to unpack and be like, wait a second, this doesn't quite feel like what's right for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I have to say like, as a, you know, small caveat, there are people in my life that probably were operating in a really beautiful way in this over the years, but I didn't get it. So I was very, I guess, because of my personality and how I'm wired, I'm very like, it's got to be this way. Everything's got to be, you know what I mean? You tell me it is, and I think it is that exact thing. But I think for me, I got really wounded in the church. So I had a huge, big faith deconstruction. And I had to really pull apart like every belief I had. And I had to, you know, sit with this, you know, I lost friends, I lost relationships, I lost so much. And even my business was wrapped up in my faith because I was a faith-based life coach. Mm-hmm. So everything that I talked about, I had written a book, was all based around what I was talking about. And so I had to go through this whole period of time of, you know, what does this mean for me? Who am I in this? And the healing that I had to go through myself was what got me to a place where I was like, okay, I can trust in God again. Now, God to me still looks the same, like, because I always was very spiritual to begin with. But I had to trust again. Like, I had to trust God wasn't out to get me. And what had happened was not a God thing. It was a people thing. Mm-hmm. And a religion thing. So unpacking all of those layers and really sitting with them and healing, and then understanding, okay, I can take a trust step and then another one and then another one. And slowly I found, okay, my level of discernment, you know, around like, okay, what am I hearing right now? Is it me? Is it God? Is it me and God? Like, what is that? Like, you know,
is it mom?
Yeah.
Like, is it church leader? Who is it?
Like, what am I listening to here? And I think that's where people can kind of get confused, because they're like, well, I just want to make sure it's God, mm-hmm. and not me. And I think that, like, that's where you got to have some grace for yourself. Like, this is a journey, you know, this is a life journey, and we have the opportunity to choose things and to make those steps. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a trial and error, to be honest with you. I don't think there's a recipe.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, most of life is just one big experiment, right? Yeah. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on that you said. And I'll start with the last one, because you said, is it me or is it God? I want to make sure it's God. What if it's not separate?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what if we are, it's a co-creation. Mm-hmm. And my personal belief is that God lives within each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So maybe... And I think this is also where we still fall into the wall, and we don't even realize we're doing this, but it's like you're trying to give your power away to something outside of you.
Yes. And so I use the word co-creation a lot, mm-hmm. in the past few years. I read this book by Tosha Silver called It's Not Your Money. Great book, by the way. It's based off of Florence Scovelshin's book, The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Okay.
And she talks about the concept of surrender. And she talks about it in a very different way than co-creation.
Tell me.
Because in co-creation, it is like, it's very much like what it says, right? You're co-creating with God. It's a merging, coming together. And although I believe that we get to co-create with God, and there's things that we're taking action on and we're like, we're fusing that together, I really truly believe that there is something super conscious outside of ourselves that is not us. So although God is in us and works through us, mm-hmm. and is us, okay, so you gotta follow me here, there is still something greater than us. And so in that surrender, and she talks about the law of Paramah Karma, which if you read the book, she goes through all of what that is really surrendering to the greater consciousness. And that really threw me for a loop, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I literally just did a massive faith deconstruction. I'd finally come back to, all right, God and I are going to co-create. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, and now we're going to let that go again? What? We're going to what?
I just got this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a beautiful conversation. And I think that that's a really beautiful like perception. And I need to like... I'm going to have to sit with that, honestly.
Yes, please read it. Because I think it's going to be like, whoa, it's very heady.
Yes. Okay. So good to know. And I am going to read it. And this is why I love these conversations. And this actually leads to the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because it takes So Andrea has a podcast. It's called The Courage Cast, which I love. And because I'm all about, you know, courage as well. It takes so much courage to question. So from my world, people are afraid to question. They're afraid to get curious. And especially when it comes to religion, especially because they're told that it's almost not okay to question, because if you question, then you don't trust.
Yes.
That you're not all in, that you're not. And I, from my perspective, at least, have the more I question, the more my faith has grown. The more curious I get, the more my faith and my relationship and my connection to God and to something bigger has gotten bigger. But it's just like what we were talking about. You're giving me a very different perspective. And I'm like, okay, am I so hell-bent attached to the other one that I'm not even willing to read this book? Right?
Oh, please, like, that do. I'm not, I hope you do.
No, I am going to. Because so that's good. Not who I am. But there are, like, but this is where we get to understand that our beliefs are not, they're not necessarily a fact. They're not necessarily something that can't be changed. And when we hold too tightly to them, we might be missing out on an opportunity to find our own truth and something that really, like, that, like, you deeply feel that, and that feels like your truth.
Yeah.
And so my question is that, where did you get the courage to start questioning in the first place? Because, like I said, this is kind of a no-no in that world, right? Is like, no, because that makes you a bad, like, not a what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say bad, but it's like not a true Christian or a true this. Like, if you can't just simply believe and never question anything about anything.
Yeah.
Very dangerous territory if you ask me, but I want to know what did that feel like?
I mean, really, realistically, I got let go of almost every ministry position I was ever in. So because I asked questions, and I love that you said, and it's language, right? Language is so important. So I love how you say you question it. And immediately when you say, I questioned it, it's almost like it seems like a negative thing, right? When you question something, that's negative. You shouldn't question anything. The minute you said curious, it's a whole different connotation. So if we're saying I got curious about something and I started to like ask people about that, then people are like, oh, that's just feels so much better, right? But the question saying I questioned it is almost like people assume that it's a pushback.
Or like you're trying to break through their story. Right. And or like you're trying to find a hole in it. Which is, again, it's like why we take it that way. And then you can see through this. It's really fascinating, but keep going.
And so like, I think I didn't want to get in trouble. Like that was like, I really didn't. Like I was not wired to be, I wanted to be somebody who did everything well and did everything right and was very approval based. And for me, when things would come up that I was just like, I don't know about that. Like that doesn't feel good or right for me. And I would say things and then people would come back right away and I'd have to feel like I would toe the line. And it has been like an ongoing process for me to let go of needing people's approval, whether it was in the church or whether it was people that were leaders in my life or authority figures, even coaches I struggled with, you know, when I first got in the industry, because I wanted to do everything right. And I thought I needed to do everything right and take their advice like to the letter. My family, you know, like how do they perceive me? Everything was wrapped up in you've got to do it a certain way and be a certain thing. And showing up as myself, truest self, was actually the scariest thing I could possibly do.
Amen. So let's talk about why that was so scary and like, what were some of the beliefs or things that you kind of had to turn on their head to be able to, because you lead people to living a life in a more empowered way. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you had to leave behind? What are some of the things that you had to just kind of let go of or release to, which it seems like the opposite, right? We don't necessarily always think that living a more empowered life is letting go of things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it is. And what kind of comes up when I ask that?
The first word that comes up was defensiveness.
Oh my gosh, girl, we are the same.
Like I remember my brother used to say this, so defensive. Everything you say is so, and I'm like, I'm not defensive. Immediately, if you say that, you're like, I'm defensive. But that to me, because as soon as I would say something and someone would come back to me and then I would need to defend it or defend my stance, you know, that I had to let go of. That is still like something that's, it lingers here and there. I think I've gotten a lot better. But that was one big thing. Approval has been one of the harder ones. I'm going to just call myself out on this one. Judgment. Like, judging myself and also other people. Because if you do one, you do both probably, because how do you not do that? And so I was very extremely judgmental. Nice about it. You would never know.
I was the nicest, judgiest person.
I was the nicest, judgiest person you ever met.
I feel like that is what judgmental people would say, including myself, right? Like, and I like, I'm not judging. And it's like, yes, you are.
yes, I am.
And like, yes. And they do sometimes, they can seem like the nicest people.
Yeah.
And then you do recognize that judgment is from this. And I know because I've sat here too, Andrea, and I still sit in this. I actually just had a therapy session about this. The amount of judgment that somebody pours out of them is because that's the amount of judgment that they're pouring into themselves.
Yeah.
And it is 100% very correlated. And when you can start to see people through that lens and you're like, man, they are just, it's like, they're struggling. They're struggling with how they see themselves and the amount of judgment that they have for themselves. And side note for anybody, again, this is it's a whole nother thing within our genetic blueprint, but look to the parent of the opposite sex and see how they judge themselves and the judgment that they passed along to you. And if you struggle to see it, sometimes we struggle to see it in our parent, like take it to the grandparent and see how they judge your parent and then just watch the flow. It's kind of fascinating. So
you're so like, that is so true. I was doing some energy work yesterday, doing some healing, and so many things came through generationally about, you know, when it comes to that. It's so interesting how we are playing out so much of, yes, what's ours, but also what was theirs, our parents or grandparents or past lives. And of course, that's a huge thing for me to say, because I'm like, do I still believe in past lives? I don't even know. Do I? I'm like, I'm not sure, but I don't really care. So...
Sometimes it's easier to just,
I'm like, whatever it is.
New information, maybe I'll change my mind. But yeah, until then, here's metaphor, where I'm at.
Who cares?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have defensiveness. You had to let go of approval. You had to let go of judgment. Anything else that kind of comes up?
I'm sure there are many. One of the things that, yeah, I still, I think was deeply set in me is a critical mindset in the sense of like everything was a more of a negative than a positive. And that has definitely helped me in my life to, you know, do a lot of things, like to make a lot of decisions, but also it has been extremely detrimental. It is probably what got me into doing mindset work. I think that was like the catalyst, because I thought, I cannot live like this one moment longer. I think that was one of the first things I had to deal with, was my negative critical thoughts on repeat 24/7.
Yeah. And for anybody who's listening, can you give an example of, I mean, I know we have them on repeat all the time, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes they become so normal that we don't even have an awareness that of the things that are floating through our mind.
Yeah. The first one I noticed that I ever noticed that I was doing, was I would get in the car and I would go to start the car. And the moment I would start it, I would go, I'm so tired.
See, like, that's not one that I think the average person would think.
And I was like, what? Why did I say that? And I realized every time I went and got in the car, I did that. And then I wondered why I was so tired all the time.
Right. Words are spells.
Yeah. And right. I genuinely, like, once I went to my natural health practitioner, there were things that were happening in my body that I was actually fatigued and would probably be tired from.
Sure.
And we worked to get a lot of that sorted out. But, you know, it was like, what's one, the chicken or the egg, right? Like, was I feeling fatigued and then I kept saying it and I was getting more fatigued? Or was I saying it because I was tired of the things going on in my life? So I would say, I'm tired. And then my body slowly was like, okay, I'm going to take that on. And I started realizing, it's like, sometimes we think it's the, I'm not worthy, or I'm not enough, or I'll never have this. Those are
buzzwords right now, aren't they?
Yeah. But sometimes it's the little things that slip through that people don't realize. I was working with a client and she was talking about change, and she, you know, so I just don't like change and I don't want to change. And, you know, I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, like, you might think that, you know, that's not a big thing, but the moment you shift that belief around change, everything's going to open up to you, because that one mindset is keeping you from opening the door of opportunity and possibility and evolution and growth. Because if you don't want change, none of that can happen.
That is so powerful. So in a couple of different ways, like, I love the I'm tired one, because, mm-hmm. and I love the way that you said, like, we immediately go physical,
yeah.
right? But you were like, maybe I'm tired of the way. So when I'm working with people and we even talk about the solar plexus, it's a question that we ask is, how are you digesting life? And yes, this can come as a physical manifestation of your digestion, your metabolism, like that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, how are you handling life? Like, how do you feel about your life? Like, and so I love that you brought that in. And, you know, when I work with people too, it's, we're always looking at everything from the lens of, yes, physical, but also mental, emotional, spiritual, and looking at it from all of those bodies. So you're right. They're all, and it's like our human body. It's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're only working on one. And I think that's part of, I believe that we are going to see the medical system shift massively.
I'd love
to more holistic views, because we're realizing that we can't treat the physical with only the physical. And that's what you're saying, is maybe I was tired, but then I started to tell myself I was tired. And it's like, it has this compounding effect. Or was I, you know, did I start to believe that I was tired, and then it made me tired? And it might sound a little bit like crazy, but all of these things are working together.
Absolutely.
And just like, it's funny, because I was talking to a client the other day, and this goes along with what you said about, I don't like change, I'm not going to change. And sometimes we are taking actions, but our thoughts and our emotions are not on the same wavelength. So for example, I was talking to, and like I was, because what's funny about this comment to me is that you're like, she came to you.
Yeah.
She obviously wants to change. Like there,
yeah.
So that's not even, but she will never change regardless of with your health or not, if she has, if she keeps holding that belief. So it's like she took an action that actually says is completely the opposite of what that statement says. Mm-hmm. So it's just not true. Right? Like, and it's actually, I hope that, you know, she can see that. But yes.
Fast forward, she has lots of change now.
Good. Oh my gosh. So good. And I was talking to a client and we were talking about, you know, she was manifesting a new job and she was talking all about, you know, what she wants and like these specifics about it and all these things. I'm like, gosh, this is so great. I'm like, so when we're trying to create something in our life and it's not happening, it's because there's probably something out of alignment here. Like there's some belief that actually just doesn't align with what you say you want. And so I'm like, it was around the full moon. And I'm like, well, what do we need to release? Like, what do we need to let go of to allow this thing to come into your life? And she was like, we're talking and she's like, I don't really know. And we're just talking about, she's like, gosh, I'm probably going to butcher this a little bit, but it was essentially like, well, I just hate starting a new job. And like, it's so difficult to start a new job. And I just hate that process. And I'm like, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so as much as you want, you say that you want this, there's this underlying thing that, because you have determined that it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to do it.
You're going to sabotage yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I think people don't realize how much they are sabotaging their efforts, even though they have the best of intentions for something. They don't realize, oh, that is actually going to keep me from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the resistance or the unbelief around it or the neediness or desperate energy around it. Or, you know, like you said, just, I don't want to actually do that.
Yeah. And you're right. And I think that this is why it's really powerful to have coaches, friends, mm-hmm. therapists, I don't care who it is. Like, yeah. I don't care. We just need people that are surrounding us that are willing to call us to the carpet, right? That are willing to say, whoa, hold on. That does not match. Yes. I know that you're saying that you want all of this, but either, and some people say they want a lot of things, but their actions don't match, right? Sometimes your actions say you want something, but your beliefs don't match. Like, there's a lot of different ways this can go. Mm-hmm. And we've got to have people around us. And this is why we get to, I don't know, do you experience this? Because I feel like women especially, goodness gracious, trying to pull a dream or something that they are working on out of them, something that they want, is like, they don't want to share it, right? It's like, it's going to be so difficult. And I think there's a lot. I think we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to look stupid. We're afraid that somebody's going to tell us that our dream is dumb, like whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But if we don't tell anybody, then we also can't rally the troops around us and have people looking at us and saying, yeah, and I see that you say that you would like that. Like, you want to lose 10 pounds and have you taken a walk today? Like, they're just like, right. You know, like, have you done like whatever it is? But that's just an example. But we get to have people around us that can, because we can't see it mm-hmm. most of the time.
I think a lot of, like, you know, people's dreams are the, you know, the purpose that they are here for. You know, a lot of them, they attach the meaning that they want to that. But in the end, it is their, you know, it's their mindset, the beliefs they have around that, you know, all swimming back to a lot of the, you know, gene keys. And I mean, obviously you can see when you start looking like where where that's mm-hmm. all coming from, and the shadow sides of certain things. And, but it's kind of like, once you start to unpack it a little bit and start seeing, why is it that you aren't willing to take action or share it, or, you know, come alongside somebody else and, you know, with the vision of it. And usually there are reasons why people are not doing those things. And that is probably what is going to sideline the most women, is they have a dream, but they're really in their head about their dream. Like, they're just, it's there. I don't want your input. I don't want you to tell me anything about it. I don't want this or this or this. And you know what? I see it on every level. I see it with people who are just new to the personal development space. I see it with people who are multi-million entrepreneur, you know, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, like saying, I don't want to, you know, do this because of this. Like, it happens all the time. Like, we're constantly having to unpack these things.
Yeah. And just kind of work our way through them. And I just think it is more fun if we will let somebody in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if we will let somebody in and be like, going back to Amy, it's funny because we talk almost every day, and it's like the amount of times we have to call each other out is just remarkable, quite frankly. Yeah. We're just like, oh my gosh, do you hear what you just said? Well, no wonder we're not doing this or wherever, you know? And
yeah.
And I think too, I'd love to get your thought on this, because Amy and I were chatting on our drive back from Sedona to Phoenix yesterday. And so many times we've conquered something in our life, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have transformed something. We have made a change in some aspect of our life. And what's funny is that it's usually like the exact same steps we need to take if we're looking to change something else. So let's just use, sometimes we talk about like three pillars, right? We have like our financial pillar. We have like our relationship pillar. We have our health pillar. So like for me, when I was really focused on my health, it was like, I had to do this, 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 and this in order to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And that's some place that I am actually, like, I feel very good about my health and where I'm at and all of that. But then we're like, but then we have these resistances towards, like, let's say I would have to do almost the exact same thing to completely change my, let's say, financial situation around. Mm-hmm. And, but we don't correlate them. And I think a lot of times that's because of the belief that we have, because we have all the tools, like we actually know how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's that somewhere in our subconscious, there's a belief that that can't be nearly as easy as the health stuff was, or whatever that looks like. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally, I mean, I'm living that out in many ways. So, fair. Yes. Yeah, I think for myself, I mean, I can speak for myself in this. I know that there have been almost like, I feel like layers of, you know, unpacking beliefs around certain things. So, in the fall, I lost 10 pounds and I want to lose more than 10 pounds, but a lot of it is getting healthy. I'm turning 50 in the fall, this coming fall. So a lot of it is really being intentional about my health and my fitness and all that. And I did really, really well. And then all of a sudden I just plateaued. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that I've done badly or poorly with my eating, but things just kind of like, I went into a lull and I was like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. why was I so, you know? And I think I hit a threshold. And this is how much you're willing to do. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so yeah, I could have that first initial shift, but the next layer of belief is a deeper layer of really understanding that, because you believe you can lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, and you can live that way. You can even live with that weight off. But anymore, what would that mean?
Right.
And I think it's then getting honest with that, because then you're like, okay, it's not just about eating properly and working out, although it is those things, but it is really about, do you believe this for yourself?
Yeah.
And getting an understanding of, why are you sabotaging yourself?
I love the way, and you know, we call it, and my husband does EOS, and whenever he goes into a business, he's like, it's you're hitting the ceiling moment, or you're hitting the threshold. It is people, time and tested, tied and true. It doesn't matter if you are a human being, a corporation, whatever, this is how it works, is that you grow, you hit a ceiling, and it's, what are you willing to do to break through that ceiling? How much deeper are you willing to go? What are you willing to let go of? Right. Yeah. Like what are all those pieces? And that it can be really kind of fun and more of a game if we look at it that way.
Yeah.
But you don't have to know who you need to become to lose 50 pounds. You need to know who you need to become to lose 10.
Yeah.
And then who do I need to become to lose 20? Right. And then who do I, and then the next thing you know, you are the person who lost 50 and you have become them. And we're just using poundage at this moment, but it's literally anything. And, you know, in business, in life, who is it, like, the person do I need to become to have to just, and this is what's, I mean, in entrepreneurs and, you know, we tend to, there's these made up milestones, I guess, but it's, who do I need to become to replace the income that I had? You know, this was someplace that as I was going through my journey, even in my worst years of business, okay, my worst years of business, I still made more money than I did as a nurse. But that wasn't a win for me until I could see it. But it was like, wow, that's actually an accomplishment. So like, who did I need to become to replace my income here? And then who do I need to become to make $100,000? And then who do I need? And it's just this really fun game that we can play. But it's a lot more fun with other people to play with. I would say that, you know, like I did so much of it on my own.
Yeah.
And gosh, it's just not, it will take a toll. Right. Like, and just my belief, but
yeah.
So I love the way that you presented that. I think that's really powerful. Well, I want to honor your time. So I just have one final question.
Okay.
And this has been such a fun conversation. And
yes, it has.
Like I said, we didn't even get through that. Sometimes I never know what's going to happen when I ask those questions. So, but the last one is, what is like one lesson you feel like you are in the middle of learning right now? Like just something that you are giving some extra love at this time of your life?
That it's okay to choose me. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Anything else you want to say about that you want to leave everybody with? It's okay because you're in the middle of it, but.
Yeah, no, I think a lot that, you know, I think we have all sorts of reasons why we would need to put somebody else first and have put other people first. And it's okay to choose yourself, full stop. Like, no, you don't have to qualify it or have a reason for it. If it's where the season you're in. And I think, you know, we always should be thinking of ourselves, you know, and putting ourselves first. Not in a, I'm trying to be malicious or greedy or whatever, but it's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think I have not done that. And from other people's perspective, they may not look at it that way at all. But I was covertly trying to manage other people and still wanting my own way. And now it's kind of like, I'm not going to manage you anymore or manage what your situation is. I'm really just going to do what's good for me.
I absolutely love that. I can resonate on so many levels. We could do a whole nother podcast on just that in itself, I feel like. But we're going to leave it there.
Thank you so much
for coming on. Like I said, you're such a joy. You have such a calming presence for me. I have so much fun with you. So let the listeners know, though, how can they find you? How can they connect with you? And we'll make sure that we link up everything in the show notes as well. But yeah, just in, if anybody is feeling really connected to Andrea at the moment, How can they get in touch?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been such a fun conversation. I love diving into stuff like this. And so it was really great to talk about. I love it. So you can find me on Instagram. Andrea Crisp Coach is where you can find me there. And the podcast that Stacey was referencing is The Courage Cast. And it's found everywhere. And we're in our 300s now. So there's plenty of episodes to pick and choose from if you want to listen.
Amazing. Definitely go check that out and check out what Andrea has to offer. Like I said, every time I talk to her, I pull something away and I get to take something with me. I get a new book, which I will also link in the show notes in case anybody wants to take a look at that. But Andrea, thank you for just showing up, being so candid, so vulnerable, so honest, with us so that we could be part of your journey and realize that it's not always easy to live a life that is different and choosing to get curious. And it's just really inspiring to be able to absorb some of that story and share that with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. We do not take it lightly that you take time out of your day to enjoy and listen and extract some of the wisdom that comes from this podcast and the guests that are on it. Just a couple of things before you go. One, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head on over and give us a review. It helps us to spread the word and make a bigger impact on more people. If there's something in this episode and you instantly thought of somebody that needed to hear it, please feel free to share that episode with a friend, a family member, on social media, whatever that happens to be. And lastly, if you are loving being part of this community, make sure you hop on over to the Patreon page and join that community. You're going to get access to bonus content and all kinds of fun things over in the Patreon page. So you can use the link in the show notes to check that out. Until next time, remember the way you show up in the world matters. So stay curious, choose courage over comfort, and whatever path you decide to go down, allow your heart to lead the way.